Growing and learning in today's environment is not only a good idea, but it's imperative for anyone that wants to get ahead. There's a lot of ideas that have come out, and to find out what's going on, we're going to go to one of the authorities in the field. Dr. Alan Black joins us. He has an educational psychology degree with a focus on creativity, and he joins us now from Athens, Georgia. Alan, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for calling.
Looking forward to finding out a little bit about the kinds of things that you have discovered in your work and your research about learning styles and how we can best learn. Tell me a little bit about some of the research that you're finding about learning and how we best learn.
There are a variety of ways to look at it. One basic that I use is based on what was called brain dominance theories back in the 60s and the 70s. You'll still see it written about. You'll still see companies that promote it. But the basic premise is came from actual research with human brains, what we call the split brain, in which they found out that the left side of the brain controls certain ways of learning and thinking, and the right brain side does opposite or different ways. It's far more complex than that, but the basic metaphor is that the left brain tends to be the rational one, the right brain tends to be the exploratory or open one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken those principles that I studied in my doctorate and applied them to what eventually comes learning or actually any human activity. My premise is that if I can discover how you tend to think, meaning the kind of information you like to receive, the way you like to receive it, I can then discover how you probably will learn. Therefore, that will impact how I teach.
And okay, well, let's pursue that then. And something that would be in a real-world situation, we're going to learn things, and particularly the people that are listening to this are interested in business applications. How would we go about finding the dominant side that we have and what learning style is best for us?
Well, there are a variety of questionnaires you can use. There are one on my website, which is the quickest one. It's 9 simple questions. You just click onto my website, respond to the 9 questions, and it immediately gives you a small report. Then from there, there's more data or information and application material on the website right there for you to use. For instance, most of us come out with 2 preferences, one edging over the other. Some people, a very small percentage of people, will be predominant only in one. And the 4 that I basically talk about, which have been discussed actually for thousands of years by many people, is what I call meditative, which is the highly logical. These are independent thinkers who take in information in facts, in observation. They'll use abstract periodically. The intuitive, or the open-ended exploratory type, are the ones who are constantly what we call creating. They're always looking for something new, something spontaneous. The meditative, these are the people who are group-focused people, family-focused. These are the type of people who like to learn with other people. In fact, what I found when I taught at the university and also in the many years I've taught and done workshops is that these are the people that will never ask me a question. They'll always turn to the person next to them, and hopefully they've learned more than they do. Now, the 4th one, which is what school is mainly aimed at, what I call the directives, these are the systematic people looking for the formulas, the equations, the exact answers. The challenge is, in reality, that's the one that actually becomes more frustrating because no set problem has a single answer all the time.
Now, yeah, because there's a myriad of things that we can do with that, and one solution doesn't always work for every situation.
Well, here's the principle. I learned this from reading a book called Teacher many years ago. It was an English woman who was teaching in a private school in New Zealand. And she discovered, working with the Maoris and the English and other descendants, other cultural descendants and children, that by teaching to them individually, she had greater effect than trying to teach only one way. Well, this has been discovered and known by good quality teachers for many years. Well, I translated it for a manager or a leader. It is more effective and more powerful for a leader to modify the way they lead or manager their way of managing to the individual employees on a specific case basis than it is to expect all their employees to be exactly like them. In the example I use from language, in Europe, there are 18 basic different languages, 4 primary languages, French, Italian, Spanish, and German. And what the Europeans have done since World War II is try to learn each other's languages. Like, if I'm French, I do not speak French in Spain. I try to speak Spanish as best I can. In Germany, if I'm Italian, I try to speak German. No matter how slowly or how loudly I speak Italian, the Germans are never going to understand me. So the principle is you speak to the learner. And that's the same principle I'm using. In the United States, we tried to do it by having one language. That doesn't work. We don't have one language. We have multiple languages in this country. And one way I proved it, while I was still a member of Toastmasters, was I gave the exact same 5-minute talk in 9 different counties. And in 8 counties of Georgia, they misunderstood me. And I was using the English language. But I wasn't using their version of the English language from their particular county.
So what I hear you saying is it's very important for us to understand the learner, understand where they're coming from, and adapt our styles accordingly. Seems like that would have a lot of ramifications, not only in learning, but also in communicating with people.
And there are many ways to do it, but as I say, the initial one I use is based on thinking. It's real fast and quick. It comes from the right brain, left brain theories and many others. And you basically find out whether people like facts, they like to use their imagination, they like to use feeling, or they like to use formulas. And that makes it easy for the leader, the trainer, the speaker, the teacher, to then gear their presentation to that. Now, add to that one other dimension. Some people are very physical learners. Some people are auditory learners. Some people are emotional learners. And some people are visual learners. So you have to take that into effect. So now you have multiples, and that's not hard to figure out. In NLP, neuro-linguistic programming taught us over the many years, 50 or 60 years that's been in existence, that you can get a sense of someone's approach to learning on those 4 variables just by the words they use. A visual learner will use visual slanted words. An auditorial learner will use auditorial focused words, and so forth. So I combine those. I can walk into an audience now and get a sense of how they tend to think, which then leads me to how they probably learn and therefore how I ought to be teaching. And by listening to them for a few minutes as I walk around, shaking hands, saying hello and welcoming them, just chatting a little bit. And then in the first few minutes of my presentation or program, I can listen to their answers and go, aha, this group is more visual. Then my PowerPoint presentation will probably work. Or, as I've learned with a few clients in some countries, that time to turn off the PowerPoint. These people don't want to look at pretty pictures.
Yeah, that would make sense. So, well, let me ask you this. It would seem like in a group that you're going to speak to, you're going to have a mixture. You will have some visual learners, some auditory, some kinesthetic learners. Given that you do have that mixture, how do you address that group then?
Okay, in my planning and design, I plan on being able to tell it, show it, have some involvement, also involve some emotional aspects through either stories or them sharing their stories. So I've got 4 different ways I can deliver the same material. I'm also I'm also very sure I make that my facts are accurate, that I have reference material for those who like that kind of background. I also include examples of intuition or creativity and the involvement of group activities. And I have this all set up in my notes, and then I'm constantly watching. Now it's almost instinctively, because I've been doing it for 30 years, is that I can pretty much sense an audience within less than 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, let me flip this over just a minute. If I wanted to see the ways that we can learn, so that you're addressing it from a very important point of view here of when we are communicating, we are the one that is doing the speaking. What about when we're the one doing the learning, and we want to learn, we want to hear? What's the best way to understand our style and then be able to adapt to that?
Well, first of all, is get a sense of how you, the kind of information you like. Do you like facts and figures? Do you like references? Meaning when someone is speaking says 37% of X always does Y, and they never give a reference, and you find that extremely annoying, well, you're probably someone that needs some reference material. You probably need some credibility. You have not accepted this speaker. Now, if you're the type of person that all you're hearing is blah, 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 when all you're hearing are facts, figures, quotes, and so forth, chances are you come from feeling or involvement, and that's what you want. If you're the type that your mind wanders constantly, no matter what the instructor says or the presenter or the speaker says, you find yourself challenging it or playing with it, there's a good chance that you're the type who is more of an exploratory or what I call creative learner, meaning that you need to take some basic information and then play with it over and over and over again until you have your own self-discovery.
Wow, this is fascinating. I can see some real value in this and learning how to learn, learning how to communicate. And obviously, we're just scratching the surface here. Alan, if someone wants to find out more about the kind of things that are available and these cutting-edge research ideas that are there, I know that you've got some things on your website. What's the best way for someone to get in touch with you?
Okay, the best site is my website is the normal www.creatingcre8ng.com. There is several things on the page, but what I will have within the next 24 hours from this time and space is I will set up a separate page that you will see from my opening website. It said Learning to Learn, and just click on that and it'll immediately take you to a page that will be devoted to that, which will have three reports that I put together offering totally free to anyone who wants them. With website connections, they can go as far as they want in the information.
Excellent. Well, let me make sure we got that for someone that might be taking notes on this. They can find out information on how to contact you and get a wealth of information. I've been over there myself and found a lot of good things there. If you want to learn, you want to expand the powers of your brain, this is a great place to do it. www.creatng.com. Let me spell that. It's C-R-E, the number 8, ng.com. A great little creative thing to do in there using that number 8, Alan. I guess that's your creativity in practice.
Something like that. It was a license plate 20 years ago, and about 12 years ago I decided that I might as well turn it into my company name, and it also is an acronym for a 6-step creative problem solving process I've been teaching for 30 years. I want to give one summary quick thing. You and I and many of our fellow professional speakers and NSA members have probably have used the Confucius statement, tell me and I will forget, show me I may remember, involve me and I will begin to learn.
Yes.
Now that premise we all learn eventually happens. Well, what are you talking about? Tell me and I will forget. Well, you're using auditory. Well, most people are not auditory learners in most cases. So doing nothing but talking is not going to do it, like we're doing right now. Actually, it's a challenging medium. The second is, show me and I may begin to learn. Well, that's aimed at the visual learners. Involve me, that's the physical learners. But what I've discovered over the years that I've been doing this, especially specifically in communication courses or train-the-trainer courses, is a fourth one. Reach me. Get to know me as a person, and we will learn together. And that ties in directly to the work that you're doing with relationship selling and relationship commerce, is that we learn best from people we trust and people we know. And research has backed this up extensively. It's the Learning Institute that gives what they call their learning pyramid. And the research shows, and I'll just summarize it real quick, a lecture generally people 20 minutes or later will remember about 5%. Reading on their own, about 10%. Audio and visual, PowerPoint, or a show on the stage, about 20%. Demonstration by the speaker, about 30%. Discussion groups and applications, meaning around a table, what some people call mumble groups or buzz groups, about 50%. Practicing it over and over and over again, about 75%. And then having to teach others, as Bob Pike is trying to teach us for several years, about 90%. And what I believe 100% and more, because you will learn something new every time you learn the same material, is repetitive exposure. And that goes way back to what Confucius told us 2,000 years ago.
Well, Alan, that makes a lot of sense, and it's something that we can use in our own personal lives for learning and increasing our learning power, as well as communicating with others. Thank you very much for joining us today, and we will look forward to many more good things in the future.
Glad to be with you. Thank you, Terry.